Good morning. Today's Bible reading is taken from Luke chapter 19, verse 45 to 48. When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. Amen.
One old recipe for making rabbit pie starts with the instruction, "First catch the rabbit." Seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? It's what we call first things first. Or we might call a priority. Priorities are important, aren't they? They're the things that are most important. The most important things we do, we call priorities. Right now in this current situation, the government has some very definite priorities. Finding a vaccine, maintaining social distancing, making sure there's no second wave of the virus, protecting the NHS. These are the priorities of the government at the present time. And they are important, very important. The Bible reveals that there are some things which are not just important or even very important, but all important, ultra important, even more important than our physical health and well-being. Many things are important, but some things are all important. And it makes sense to make those things the priorities, the first things of our lives. Doesn't mean we don't do anything else, but it means that these are the things that are first and foremost and most important to us. In the part of the Bible Glenn read to us, we see Jesus laying down two of the greatest priorities for life, for death, and for all eternity. The first one appears in the first paragraph, verses 45 and 46, and the second one in the second paragraph, verses 47 and 48. And in fact, the second one also appears a little bit in the first paragraph throughout the verses. I wonder if you can see what these two great priorities are in these verses. Two great priorities for life, for crises, for all times, and indeed for all eternity. If you have these priorities in place, in your life, you will be standing on solid ground with a firm foundation beneath your feet. The fact that they are laid down by Jesus himself makes all the difference. They come with the full authority of the Son of God behind them. And he lays them down or nails them down at a time of impending crisis. The great crisis of his crucifixion, which is just days away now. Perhaps only 4 days away now. Verse 47. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. His crucifixion is very close. And Jesus in these verses lays down two great priorities for life, for death, and for all eternity. I wonder if you can see what the first priority is. Let's look at verse 45 again. When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Jesus was livid with those selling animals for sacrifice in the temple because they were selling at extortionate rates and turning the temple into a den of robbers. The temple that was meant to be a house of prayer, a place for prayer, for coming to God to confess sin, to give thanks for his love and goodness, to ask for what was needed, and to draw near for strength and satisfaction. The people needed a place for prayer. But instead, it was more like a marketplace. Jesus was really angry about that. He knew people needed to pray. He was protecting and promoting prayer. Of course, now, because of Jesus, through Jesus who died for us on the cross, we no longer need to go to a place or a building to pray. Jesus himself has become our temple, and his Spirit is with us, and we can go to him anywhere, anytime. We don't need the temple, but we do need to pray. People need prayer. And you can see that that was something that Jesus felt very strongly about. Prayer needs to be a priority according to the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I need God. We need to be coming again and again to him to confess our sin, to give thanks for his goodness, to ask for what we need, and to draw near for strength and satisfaction. This is something we can do on our own, and we can do together with other people, which can be a wonderful experience and encouragement. Is this something you are doing? Have you made this your priority? Or have you misplaced it for other priorities? Priorities like family, career, possessions, which are good in their place and important, but will ultimately fail if you make them your greatest priorities. This is the first priority laid down by Jesus just a few days before his death. Do you see the second? It actually comes up in three places across these four verses. First, in the words, in verse 46, it is written. Jesus quotes from two places in the Bible, in the Old Testament, one from Isaiah and one from Jeremiah. It is written. He means it is written in the scriptures, in the Bible. Because the second great priority for life, for death, and for eternity is the Word of God. For Jesus, the Son of God, the Word of God written down in the Bible had final authority. If he said it is written, he meant this is what God has said and it is final. A former pastor of mine used to put it this way. If God says it, that settles it. That was Jesus' view of the Bible. It's the Word of God that has final authority. If we are followers of him, it must be our view, too, of the Bible. And the great thing is, you see, we can have that view with the greatest confidence because it is his view and he is the expert. He's the Son of God. He's the man from heaven. He's the Lord of glory. Who would know better than he does about the Word of God and spiritual matters? You see, this is the kind of thing we're doing with the coronavirus. We're relying on the views of the experts, the scientists. That's what we want the government to do. That's what they keep telling us they are doing, relying on the experts. We don't have to know everything about the virus ourselves. We just need to rely on the experts. And here we can rely on the expert, the Son of God. If that's his view of the Bible, I can have the greatest confidence in the Bible, whatever others may say about it. This is the priority of the Word of God. Secondly, we see this priority again in verse 47. Every day he was teaching at the temple. He was teaching at the temple. Jesus is only days away from death, and he knows it. But he is every day teaching the Word of God. Jesus' priority was teaching people about God and his kingdom. It's very striking that, isn't it? Because it must have been very tempting for Jesus to, at this time, run away or hide away because of what was coming, because of what he knew was coming. Fear can make us shrink back like that from our responsibilities, can't it? From our troubles. And we see the power of that temptation very, very intense for him a little bit later on in the Garden of Gethsemane. It almost breaks him. If you've ever felt like you've just wanted to run away, if you've ever felt tempted to just kind of take off, if only you could, from your troubles and your responsibilities, then you can know that Jesus understands that feeling very well. But Jesus is determined to see this thing through. And so instead of hiding or running away, he's out there, ramping up his teaching in a very public place, the temple, not switching it down. Because he knows that teaching God's word is what's going to prepare his disciples for the crisis ahead. At our sermon discussion last week, Maureen brought up very helpfully John 16 verse 33. It's a verse I think I've quoted many times in the church, but now I notice I've only been quoting the last half of the verse. And it came almost as a revelation to me when Maureen quoted it, the first half of the verse, which runs like this. John 16, 33. I have told you, says Jesus, these things, so that in me you may have peace. You can see that was a great link with the theme of peace from last Sunday. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But what I also noticed was the link in the verse itself. A very clear link in that sentence. The linking words are so that. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In other words, the peace he wanted to give his disciples was linked to the teaching he was giving them. To put that in a much simpler way, we get peace from Jesus' teaching if we are in him. Their peace depended on his preaching or teaching. And so does ours. That's how important his words in the Bible are to us. They are given for our peace. Thirdly, see the priority of the word of God in verse 48. And those final few words where we're told that all the people hung on his words. That indicates the importance and the priority of the word of God. Now, they hung on his words not only because Jesus was a fantastic teacher, but also because he had something fantastically important to say. So that people hung on his words. You see, he wasn't just telling them stories. These were the compelling words of God, the all-important words. Sometimes we refer to something as a matter of life and death. I'm sure the government and the NHS would say that the message of social distancing has been a matter of life and death over the last few weeks. The message of Jesus is even greater than that. Peter got it when in John chapter 6, verse 68, he said, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Jesus' words are not just words of life and death, but words of eternal life and eternal death. If you want to see further how important the Bible is, go to 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 to 17. It tells us at least three huge things about the Bible and its importance for us. First, in verse 16, that it is the very word of God, breathed out by him. There is no book in the world like it. It is the very book of God. Second, at the end of verse 15, we are told that it's able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We can be saved through this book and safe forever through faith in Jesus. And third, we're told through 16 and 17 that it's useful, that this book is supremely useful for teaching, rebuking and training, correcting and training in righteousness, that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good deed that he has planned for us. Elsewhere in the Bible, we are told that this book, this Bible, this collection of 66 books, if you like, is more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. It's a light for our path, and it can protect us from all kinds of sin and foolishness. There is nothing like this book in all the world. These are the words of eternal life. And so it makes perfect sense to make it a priority in your life now. Now, here we have two of the great priorities for life, for death, and for all eternity. And these priorities belong very much together. They work together, they support each other, they need each other. Prayer and the Word of God. Prayer needs the Bible, and the Bible needs prayer. The best prayers are biblical, and the best Bible reading is prayerful. That's why great Christians like George Whitefield and George Muller read the Bible, sometimes at least, on their knees in an attitude of prayer, and found great blessing and strength from reading the Bible in that prayerful way. You see, this is how Jesus prepares his disciples and himself for crisis, the crisis of his crucifixion, which would rock them to the core. And it's the way we best prepare for the crises that will come our way, including the crisis of our own death, which will come to us all eventually. Perhaps many of you will remember from Sunday school days the old song, "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock." When Jesus gave that famous illustration, you'll find it in Matthew chapter 7, about the wise man building his house on the rock and the foolish man building his house on the sand, he was asking or posing a very big question. What are you building your life upon? Are you building upon something that's solid or something that is sinking? Something that will last or something that will eventually crumble, disintegrate, collapse? Your career, your marriage, your family, your possessions will eventually crumble. Of course they will, they can't last forever. They are good in themselves as part of the building of your life, but not as the foundation on which your life rests. So it does not make any sense to make them your priorities in life, ahead of God, ahead of prayer to God, and the Word of God. Let me leave you some questions, as usual, to think about, to talk about, to pray about. What are your priorities in life? What are the things that are most important to you, if you really thought about it? Are these things worth being priorities? The most important things in your life? Will they last, for instance? Are you building your life on solid foundations or sinking foundations? And what about when crisis comes? Will they help you then? One of the strange things about this lockdown, as I finish, is that in some ways it is making it easier to get to church and to Bible studies and to prayer meetings because you don't have to leave your own home. Now, that's not ideal, of course. It is much better physically to be together, and we're looking forward to that, hopefully not too far away. But it can make it easier to join some things now when it might otherwise be difficult or impossible to get to. Why don't you take advantage of that strange opportunity to join in with some of these meetings, Bible studies, prayer meetings, and find new priorities, true priorities, taking shape in your life and building foundations that are solid and not sinking.